World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I got 1,000 things to talk about today. I'm just telling you, I got 1,000 things to talk about. Just pray that you bear with me. I was telling Michelle, who I love more than anything on this earth, what a wife she's been my whole life, 40 some years. I just told her that we're seeing the last gasp of the left's last gasp is the courts. It's the courts. And I talked a little bit about it last week, and I'm going to talk more about today, exactly what's going on. And I'm going to give you some Bible today. So if you don't like Bible, you just, you know, then maybe you want to go someplace else. It's going to be good. Before I do, I want to just give real quickly, Spencer, real quickly, if you could pull up two things going on this weekend, Mansfield, pull that up real quick. There you go. Well, this stay there. That's okay. This is a stay awake tour. I don't know. Sadly, wasn't done on purpose. We have two great events going on the same weekend. One's going on in Delaware, Ohio, the Stay Awake America Tour. It's good stuff, man. Look at the names on this thing. Mikovits, Dr. Cherry Tenpenny, Dr. Frank, on and on and on and on and on. And man, I'll get you a little bit more information tomorrow. But there's how you go, and there's how you go. Now, look, this is me, okay? I love a website. I like a website. I like to go to a website and be able to register. But it's a new day when you text 786-520-7876. I'll be honest with you, I don't even know how that works. I'm 72 years old. But that's how you order tickets. And I would say this again, even if you can't go, you've got to support this, folks. We have to support this kind of thing. So there it is. This is going on Friday and Saturday. Patrick Byrne, what's the name of his business? Come on. God, my brain just went right out of my brain. Anyway, Patrick, this is a good one, man. Okay. And then Saturday and Sunday as well, Tom Dunn has a great spiritual warfare conference called Strangeland going on in Mansfield, Ohio. Yes, I'm going to be at both places, believe it or not. They're about 40 minutes apart. And this is entirely different. The one before, I'm not making fun of it. The one before is political more than anything. How we got to get involved and how we got to save America, yada, yada, yada. And it's all good and I'll support it. Tom Dunn's conference on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is spiritual. What's going on spiritually? These are both great ones. Now, I should have checked this out. I will check this out. Here's what I'm doing, okay? I'm buying the streaming so that I can watch it later. Because you can't be two places at one time. And I'll check out with Amy. I don't know if they're doing streaming or not. If not, I'll figure out how to do it because that kind of stuff's important. Either way, folks, we need to support these things. Even if you can't go, buy a ticket and send somebody else. Okay. So one is a cultural, political thing. This is what's going on. And the other one is a spiritual thing, which, by the way, both of those things are going on, right? And I haven't figured out yet how to be two places at the same time. And it's almost like we're coming out of hiding after 3 years of COVID or whatever, right? So I just encourage all of you to share with others, buy somebody else a ticket, buy the streaming, do whatever. Amen. All right, cool. Look, I don't want to get bogged down on this because I got somewhere I want to go today, okay? I wrote a commentary. Can I start with that? Because I think one of the greatest lies perpetrated on the American church, my opinion only, is this non-judgmental God. That Jesus just loves everybody. Jesus is all love, love, love. God loves you, brother. Jesus loves you. Hey, Jesus loves you. Well, that is true, but that's only half. That's not even half of the story. That's just the maybe 10% of the story, right? I love my own children, deeply love my own children, but sometimes they get a spanking. Anybody raise any kids? Huh? If you love your kids, do you just let them do whatever they want to do? Or do you try to train them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord? And by the way, that requires judging. And what do they tell us in the modern American church? Don't judge. Who are you to judge? I want to take off on that today on a commentary I've written, only because I put a lot of time and effort and energy. I could tell it to you, but I try to build an argument when I do a commentary. It hasn't posted yet at News with Views. It's posted at Coach Dave Live. And Spencer, pull that thing up there, Spencer, because I want to, for God's sake, folks, tell folks the truth. Let me say that again. For God's sake, tell folks the truth. Stop there a minute. I'm talking to you and the people you love. If you love them, you would tell them the truth. You would not cover for them. You would not hide their sin. You would not jump in bed with their sin. If you love them, you would tell them the truth. Okay, hang on with me. Here we go. For God's sake, tell folks the truth. I suppose it's dangerous to write about this topic, seeing how the idea of judging is no longer kosher in American Christianity. In fact, judge not is a partial statement taken out of context by many American Christians, is the modern command of those practicing modern, soft, American evangelical Christianity. My wife said, boy, that needs some hyphens in there. That's what we're practicing, modern, soft, American evangelical Christianity. Somebody give me an amen out there. I just coined the phrase. Could we do an M-A-E-C, call a name of that? An all-loving, never angry Christian God has been adopted by many American pulpits as truth languishes in the streets, waiting for some brave pulpiteer to reintroduce to our American society a sin-hating, justice-loving King of Kings. Somebody say, I need reinforcement. Betty, give me an amen. Somebody give me an amen. See, this comes to me. It comes to me from personal experience. Personal, because look, I'm not whining, I'm not complaining, I'm not moaning, I'm not doing anything. The average pulpit would never have me in because I don't talk just about love. I don't speak the life enhancement gospel. Okay. For those of you who might be wondering, Jesus actually upped the ante on judging. Far from banishing judgment, he made it personal. The judge not Christians fail to tell you the whole story. See, Jesus made it personal regarding our own personal behavior. Here is what the one who died for our sins actually said regarding judgment. Hang on, let me stop here a second. Raise your hand if you've had a Christian tell you that we're not supposed to judge. Somebody raise a hand out there and say, oh yeah, I've heard that, Coach. Huh? Nobody raising their hand today? Yep, I've heard that one. Judge not, Coach, judge not. Okay, so here's what the scripture actually says, all right? Judge not that you be not judged. For, hang on, you notice that isn't a standalone sentence, judge not, is a comma. He says, don't judge that you be not judged. For whatever judgment you judge, that same standard is going to be used against you. And with what measure you meet, it's going to be measured to you. Same one. Why do you check out the mote in your brother's eye, but don't say anything at all about the crap you're doing? Or how will you say to your brother, let me pull the mote out of your eye, and behold, you got a big freaking beam in your eye, dude. You hypocrite. Look, Betty, first cast out the beam out of your own eye. And then when you cast out the beam, don't judge hypocritically. When you stop doing what you were doing, now you are free to speak towards it. And then first cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then shall you see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. Okay, stay with me. The admonition of Jesus was not to stop judging, but to stop judging hypocritically. Once you clean up your own life, then you can effectively clean up the life of another man. Do not criticize someone for exhibiting the same behaviors in which you're engaging. We can only see clearly after seeing the inconsistencies in our own lives. Am I doing okay? I need reinforcement now. I'm doing okay? Come on now. What kind of person doesn't judge? Our entire existence is based on judgments. Should I? Shouldn't I? Will I? Won't I? When? Where? Why? Why not? It is impossible to live without making judgment calls. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is the judge. In fact, in the book of Revelation, it teaches us that we all have a judgment day. It says in Revelation, and I saw the dead and small, great standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Stay with me here. You ever been in a courtroom? Court is a place where evidence is presented before a judge who has the power to pronounce judgment based on the evidence presented. Hence, the books referred in the above scripture contain the evidence that's going to be presented to the judge at your trial. And the judge will pronounce guilt or innocence after reviewing the evidence, the books. So, the Christian's role is one of, I should be R-O-L-E, is one of a witness. Listen to me. You better get this. The job of the witness. Christians, when you see somebody out of line sinning, you're not to love them in the sin. You're to be a witness to them. The job of a witness is to testify to the veracity of the evidence. A witness does not judge. A witness testifies. Brother, if you keep doing that, here's where you're going to end up. That is a testimony. That is a testimony. Testifying is not judging. Testifying is bearing witness regarding the evidence. And eyewitness is the most credible testimony in a courtroom. Somebody give me a boom. This is unbelievable. The Lord gave me this. This is unbelievable. Huh? Eyewitness. You see, America's in a mess today, not because of the lack of judges, but because of the lack of witnesses. Vinny, are you out there? Give me a boom on that one, Vinny. America's in a mess today, not because of the lack of judges, but because of the lack of witnesses. Every believer is called to testify, to be a witness to the truth of God's word. Testifying is not judging. Testifying is presenting evidence of the truth of what God's laws say. Matthew 22, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So pointing out that a person's behavior is wrong is not being judgmental. It is one of the greatest forms of love.
Hallelujah.
I hear people say that we should share the truth in love, brother. Coach Dave, you're so harsh. Share the truth in love. Friends, sharing the truth regarding harmful, sinful behavior is love. It's the behavior that is a sin, and we have a duty to point it out. James 4 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Pointing out sinful behavior is training. You say to your children, don't do that. And if you do that, here's what's going to happen. You're not being judgmental. You're testifying to the truth so they know how to behave. Pointing out sinful behavior is training. The scriptures say, train up a child in the way he should go. When he gets old, he will not depart from it. Training requires direction, correction, and discipline. So it's so important that the Bible tells us, whom the Lord loves, he spanks.
Amen, coach.
Saying no to immoral behavior was God's idea. If we love our family and our friends, then we will tell them the truth. Truth often sounds and feels like hate. Testify to the truth, but know this, it might leave a mark. But only the truth can make one free. And over the course of my life, I'm 72 years old. I have grown children now. And I look back on my life. Anybody else? Anybody get ready to say amen. Anybody look back on your life and said, you know what? 20 years ago, I should have said something. I should have stopped that 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I should have cranked his butt 20 years ago when he was doing, I let it slide. And now I've created a monster. Anybody say amen out there? Know what I'm talking
amen.
About?
Amen.
And so what are they telling Christians when you go street preach? Brother, tell them how much Jesus loves them. No. I'm going to tell them how much in trouble they are with Jesus because he loves the truth. And if you continue to do that, dude, there is a payday coming. That's love, friends. That's love. But we don't want to believe it, do we? So that got me onto something else. I love my wife. Hang on, David. I see your hand. Go ahead. Come on in, Dave. Come on in. Nope. Hang down. Okay. Maybe just so hang on.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. I stopped at 4 o'clock this morning to get coffee, and I got to talking to these two women, and they mentioned something about the kids being in trouble. I said I was from Maine. I said, yeah. I said, well, you know, that's what happens when you sacrifice your babies. And she said, well, that's really judgmental because some people don't have a choice. I said, and that's a lie from the pit of hell because they haven't done the research to know what their options are. If they continue to sacrifice their babies to the system, then they are unparents. And they just walked away from me. And the cashier said, God bless you, sir.
Because nobody will say it, right? Nobody will say it. So I want to look, folks, you got to get this. Pull up for me number two. Pull up number two, Spencer, if you could. Bear with me, folks. I got to get this off of my chest. This is so from the Lord today. Number two, judgment. 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 Who are you to judge? Who are you to judge, right? Well, folks, the act of judging is the act or process of the mind comparing ideas to find agreement or disagreement and to ascertain truth, or the process of examining facts and arguments to ascertain propriety and justice, or the process of examining the relations between one proposition and another. Folks, let me ask you something. Did Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, give you a brain to not judge between right and wrong? Did he? Why would they be telling? You know who's telling you that, right? The people who are guilty. The people who are guilty are the ones who say, stop judging me. Who are you? I'm not judging you, dude. I'm just presenting evidence here. I don't have the power to judge you. Hang on. Go to the next one. Condemn. So to condemn is to pronounce to be utterly wrong, to utter a sentence of disapprobation against, to censure, to blame. But the word often expresses more than censure or blame and seems to include the idea of utter rejection, to determine or judge to be wrong or guilty. See, the judge condemns them in the courtroom. You go in and you testify and somebody else testifies. Everybody testifies. And there's no judgment that's going on until the judge judges, and then the judge brings condemnation, which is what? He said, guilty, that's condemnation. But isn't it good that the Bible tells us, where is it? Oh, I got to find it. That there is, therefore, no condemnation. Number seven. Hey, dude, are you looking at me right now? You who don't want to judge, you know, let me tell you something. Do you have any idea how guilty you are? Huh? And Jesus said, he is without sin. Let him cast the first stone. So we don't want to speak up about somebody else's sin because we got sin in our own lives and it silenced us and it told us not to judge. Well, I don't know about you. Here's me. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. What? There's no condemnation. What does it mean to condemn? When I judge somebody's behavior and I'm condemning them Am I sentencing them to death? No, 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 no. To condemn is to determine or judge to be wrong. Judge not. Who are you to judge? Well, I'm a child of the king. I can judge right and wrong, but I don't have the ability to condemn somebody. Oh, there's a judge that will. But the good news is there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Go back to Romans 8. Go back there. I'm going to let you in here in a second. For the law, wow, folks, law. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? You should underline that in your Bible. There is a law of the Spirit of life. It's a law. It's a law. And look at this. The law of the Spirit of life trumps the law of sin and death. Do you see the two laws there? There's a law of the Spirit of life, and there's a law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? The soul that sins, it shall die. But Jesus Christ filed an executive order which trumped it, which is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus, there is therefore no condemnation. Yes, you're guilty as charged. Yes, but not condemned. You're granted grace. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. But folks, listen to me. You are a spirit man. You are a spirit man. I'm not going to. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For they that are the flesh, they want to do fleshly things. But they that are after the spirit, no, 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 no. The spirit man doesn't let them do those fleshly things. Somebody say amen. Come on, somebody encourage me here, man.
Amen.
Amen.
To be carnally minded, to be only controlled by your physical, natural senses and inclinations, that's carnally minded, and that is death.
Boom.
But to be spiritually minded, oh my goodness, do you see this? Is life and peace. So if I were to say to somebody, look, I'm just going to pick out a name, okay? I'm just going to pick out a name. So don't anybody take this. If I find out that my wife is having private, secret conversations with another man while I'm married to her,
Ouch.
We're going to get that thing straightened out, right? Can I forgive her? Yeah, I can forgive her because I'm a spiritually minded man. And because I've been forgiven, I can forgive. Remember, the same standard you use going to be used against you. How can I not forgive her if she asked for forgiveness? Yes, but coach, it was grievous. It was a grievous. Yeah, I know. Your sins were grievous, by the way. And your sins were forgiven, by the way. And the only reason I found out that my wife was going out with another man, which she isn't, praise the Lord, is she got caught. I caught her. If you're watching this, my wife's not going out with other men, okay? I'm not going out with other women. I'm using that as an example, right? So to be carnally minded, in other words, just doing what you want to do, is death. Death. Sin leads to death. And that's the job of a parent, is to say to your child, I'm sorry, that is wrong. Stop it. When do we do that? Why don't we do that? Hang on, I'm just getting rolling, but I'm going to let you in here in a second. Pull up for me. Where was it? I know I just sent it to me. Oh, my goodness. Lord, where is it? Poem number 6. Matt Walsh. You guys all know Matt Walsh? You should. You should know. Huh? Listen to this. It's 3 minutes, 39 seconds. Yes or no? Go ahead.
Wish that I could say we were asleep at the wheel, because if you fall asleep at the wheel, it's not necessarily your fault. That's something that happens accidentally. I think it's worse than that. I think it was a deliberate choice. It was a surrender. It was a waving the white flag. And so to answer your question and to bring it to kind of the point of this great event, that I think I mean, there are a lot of answers to the question of how it got this deep in our institutions. But to me, the number one answer is that there is one institution that is supposed to be there as the vanguard against this kind of evil. And that institution refused to do its job, and that is the church. Now, I can, again, think back to 2016, 2017, 2020, 2021, being out there kind of in the field on this issue, fighting this issue out, whether it's going to school board meetings or holding rallies or doing anything. For me, it's making a movie, just using whatever resources were at my disposal to fight back. And I would look to the left of me, look to the right of me, and what I noticed is that I noticed what was missing, which is that there were not a lot of Christian leaders standing there beside me. I was more likely to look over to my side and see a liberal feminist standing with me on this issue than a Christian pastor. And not only that, but it was in fact worse that very often if a Christian pastor were to say anything to me or about me in relation to this issue, it was to condemn me for being too rude, for being too mean. You know, they didn't like the way that I approached it. And my answer to them was always, okay, you don't like my approach. What's your alternative? What? Because your approach is nothing. Your approach is to say nothing at all. And I agree with something you said, Charlie, earlier about, you know, we talk about the woke churches that have the rainbow flags and everything outside. And that's a big problem. That is an issue. That's not the biggest problem. Like those churches, they're not churches. They don't count. I don't even, that's not real. You know, if you have a rainbow in your church, it better be a part of some art display that references Noah's Ark. Because the rainbow flag is anathema. It is heresy. And any church that flies it is not a church. It is, it's a church, but not for the Christian religion, for the LGBT cult is what it is. So there's that. So like there's those kinds of churches, and that's not real. Those are not real Christian churches. The bigger problem.
Cut it off. Put it in the chat. You can see the rest of it. That's actually, we're almost at the end of it. Okay, I got to unveil something to you. Then I promise you, Ray, I'm getting you right in here, okay? Folks, pull up number five. Critocracy. You guys ever heard of a critocracy? That's what, folks, look. This is where the battle lies in America today, in the courts. They could not get their will done through the ballot box. So they've gone through the courts, right? So what is a critocracy is what I always called it. It's an ideal legal and political system most closely approximate in the institutional structure of traditional societies, especially those described by anthropology, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, a critocracy is government by judges. And all you have to do is look around, and the left is bragging. Schumer in particular is bragging because they put in so many federal judges. And what we see going on all across America right now is federal judges usurping their authority, claiming to have authority over the president of the United States. That's what's going on. That is there's a conflict going on between a critocracy. See, they talk about a monarchy. They talk about a dictatorship. No, folks. The battle going on is between judges, the critocracy, and liberty. That's the battle that's going on. You saw when President Trump came in and he pardoned Bill Dunphy and all those guys. Why? Because they weren't getting a fair trial. They weren't going to get a fair trial. Okay, one more thing. Two more things. Qualifications of judges. Pull that up there. Qualifications. Judges were so important because judges were the one who brought down the hammer. Hearken, this is Exodus 18, 19. I want to give, I want to tip my cap to my wife this morning. As I'm doing research, she says, honey, did you read this? Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. But thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And you shall teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. Boy, is this an expose of what the judges we see in America today? And place such over them, these judges, these righteous God-fearing men, to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter that they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall be easier for yourself, and for and they shall bear the burden with thee. Do we have men of God, men of truth, able men, hating covetousness? Do we have that? Do we have, the answer to it is no. Why? Because, folks, judgment is at the core of Christ. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it's only that a righteous judge gives, oh my goodness, one more. Where am I? that's not what I wanted. Okay, number one, I'm sorry. Then we'll open it up. Wow. Can you see where it says see more? Okay. Here we go. I don't know who this guy is. We need to impeach corrupt judges. In 2025, a federal judge sits on the bench while his daughter rakes in source-funded money. His family lives in a $2.4 billion DC mansion on a $247,000 salary. This isn't justice, folks. This is organized treason. Judge James Brosbag must be impeached now. He gagged Trump. He presided over fake trials. He refused to recuse himself. All the while, his household fed off the very machine targeting our movement. This is the deep state's firewall, and it is cracking. Trump just dropped the hammer. This judge, Trump said, is almost as conflicted as the one whose daughter made millions representing Biden and Harris against me. He should be disbarred. Folks, this isn't just judicial conduct. It's a script. And Boasberg's reading straight from the Soros Obama playbook when he labeled January 6th an insurrection without evidence or trial. He wasn't ruling. He was performing for the regimen. This is warfare, friends. Legal warfare. Oh, yeah. This is blocked. I got to get this thing out. Hang on. Legal warfare. And the robes are the uniforms they wear. The courtroom is the battlefield, and the patriots are the targets. Boasberg's wife and daughter are neck deep in Soros-linked NGO money. They've received massive funds through USAID, already exposed as a globalist tool. This isn't a judge. This is a front man operation. Elon Musk just asked the real question. How does the judge afford a $2.4 million lifestyle on a federal salary? Nobody answers, because the answer would burn the whole system down. Stephen Miller confirmed it. The Trump administration wants Boasberg gone. His injunctions are designed to flood America with unvetted migrants and silence opposition. Every move is a blow to sovereignty. This is the final weapon of the deep state. When elections fail, when truth rises, when we the people fight back, they hide behind judges, unelected, unaccountable, untouchable. But not anymore. The robes are off. The masks are shattered. The war is on. Impeach Boasberg, purge the bench. Because if corrupt judges control the law, then tyranny wears a black robe. And it's time we, the people, ripped it off.
Boom.
That's what we're dealing with, friends. Ray, come on in.
Yeah, it's amazing, Coach. The judgment all through the scriptures. Spencer, if you could bring up Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. But going into 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction to righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
No wonder they don't want to teach our kids the Bible, huh, Ray? No wonder they don't want to teach the Bible. Go ahead.
Yeah. Now, the New Testament wasn't even written yet. This is being written. So most of this that he's talking about, he's referring to Old Testament scriptures that we're to pay attention to. Leviticus 5, and if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he has seen it or known of it, if he does not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity.
If we see iniquity and we don't say anything about it, we're just as guilty. Is that what you're saying?
Bingo, right on the mark. So now these judges, these activist judges, according to Romans 13, these judges are put into their position to do good, not evil, to condemn evil. And when they usurp that authority, they are no longer under the umbrella or protection of what they were godly ordained to do. So they're guilty, and we're to call them out on that. And I think what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Here's the line of the day, friends. Listen now. Language is so important. I wrote a commentary, Change the Words, Change the World. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you noticed this or not. We're constantly using the words the Luciferians tell us to use. Mm-hmm. You do understand that, don't you? We use their words. So when somebody says to you, Ray, who are you to judge? Our response should not be, well, I'm not judging, because you're automatically on the defensive. Your response should be, oh, I'm not judging. I'm testifying to the truth. I don't have the ability to judge, but I sure have the ability to witness and testify about what I've seen and to witness and testify. So folks, you're not judgmental. You're testifying, which is what the scripture tells us we're supposed to do, to bring an honest testimony that this behavior is going to lead to this. And have you noticed this? Friends, if we don't judge, who will? Who will? Who will judge? Charles Schumer out there patting himself on the back, pounding on his chest, because they have appointed their judges. Look at the Supreme Court. Do you think they appointed Kajani, whatever her name is? Did they appoint her because she was so brilliant? Think so? And let me ask you something. Think somebody's in control of Judge Roberts? And all any of us ever ask was a fair trial. A fair trial. Let the facts come out. Let the truth come out. A fair trial. And if I got Bill Dunphy on here right now, he would tell you he wasn't given a fair trial. He wasn't allowed to speak. He wasn't allowed to defend himself. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble, to petition their government for redress of grievances. That was totally and completely denied to him. By what? By an unjust judge. Did you ever want to stand up in court? Because I haven't been in court. Yeah, I have, but Did you ever want to stand up and say, pardon me, Your Honor, who are you to judge? Would you say that in a court of law? Who are you to judge? And so what happens to us when we get unrighteous judges? Unrighteous judges. I got to pull this one up, number three, then I'm going to open it up. Number three. Let me ask you this, folks. What is a watchman? Or better yet, who is a watchman?
Amen.
Spencer, real quickly, go to Webster and pull up watchman. A watchman is a sentinel, a guard. Who's the watchman of biblical Christianity? Is it only the guy in the pulpit?
We are.
Is he the only one? I'm going to tell you something I know right now. Glenn is a watchman. He's a watchman. I know, Glenn, I'm not trying to embarrass you, that he makes a habit of making sure his church leadership knows what's going on. Why? Because he is a watchman. He is a sentinel. He's a guard. Guard of what? Guard of America? Guard of our country? Guard of the Word of God? A guard of truth? Is that a job that only falls into the lap of some dude standing in a pulpit? Is that what they've taught us? Only the guy in the pulpit can judge? Only the guy in the pulpit can make a determination of right and wrong? Only the guy in the pulpit can determine what the people are going to hear? Is that really where we are? The answer would be, yeah, that's where we are. So bring up, what did I say? I told Isaiah, are you ready, friends? Hey, Betty, would a guy at the House of Representatives be a watchman? Yeah. Would a senator be a watchman? Yeah.
Yes.
Would a sheriff be a watchman? Yeah. Yeah. Would a superintendent of schools be a watchman? Yeah. Would a parent be a watchman? Yeah. Yeah. Would a guy at the gas station be a watchman? Yeah. 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 Because watchmen have become witnesses, right? Well, are you ready? Are you ready? Israel's watchmen are blind. I can stop right there. What good is a dog that doesn't bark? Israel's watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. Spencer, I got to do this, man. I'm sorry. Folks, ignore. That ought to be ignorant. Ignore. Do you ever ignore your children? Did you ever ignore that sound? In other words, you act like it isn't there. You're ignorant. So Israel's watchmen are blind. They all ignore what's going on. They're like my daughter's big fat dog chart. There it is. Ignore, to refuse to take notice. It's not just the pulpits. Mm-mm. Our dog, my daughter Abby's got a dog up there, old Charlie. She must be 400 years old. Huh? I'm going to tell you this. Charlie ain't afraid to bark. Here in about 40 minutes, he's going to be outside my door barking because he wants to come in and get another piece of meat or something we got, right? Charlie ain't afraid to bark. Nope. Israel's watchmen are. They're sleeping. They're lying down, loving the slumber, being told, who are you to judge? Oh, no. Sorry. Hey, Betty, who are you to bark? Who are you to bark? Yeah. You're greedy dogs. Who is Israel's watchmen? Those of us who see the truth, know the truth, and understand the truth, we're greedy. We can never have enough. And we're all shepherds that cannot understand. Have you ever looked at yourself as a shepherd? I see it more and more every day. I'm a shepherd over 10 grandbabies, 3 children, their spouses. I'm a shepherd over them. And I don't know about you. I give. Any of you out there give to your children? You give to your children? Why? Because watchmen aren't greedy. They're not greedy. They see the need and they meet it. They fill it. But blind ones can't because they're greedy. They can never have enough. They're all shepherds, can't understand. They all look to their own way. Everyone from his own gain, from his own quarter. Yeah, coach, I'm not going to talk about it. Yeah, I see that's going on, but yeah, that's just, you know, coach, that's just the way I'm not going to say anything about that, coach. Come, you say these watchmen, blind watchmen. Come on, man. Let's go out to dinner. I'll buy you a drink. We'll have some good food. And tomorrow, everything will be good again, man. It'll just be, tomorrow will be better. That's it. Here's where we are. And if you're in here right now, you're a watchman. You know how to bark? Or do you meow? Vinny.
Well, Coach, you really just put it all together. So you
Vince,
just,
you got to turn that up a little bit. I can't really hear. Hang on, Vinny. I can't really hear him.
Anyway,
go ahead, Vinny.
What is the purpose of a guard? Is to alert people, right?
Yeah.
But a guard can't alert people if he's been bought off and told not to.
Hey, Vinny, what does a watchdog do?
Bark.
Ah. But not if he's bought off, right?
Boom.
John Roberts, a good watchdog of the Republic, you think? Can Johnny Jackson, whatever her name is, is she a good watchdog just because she's a black woman? Does that make her a good watchdog? Go back to the qualifications. Go back to the qualifications of being a judge. Pull that back up there, Spencer. Pull it back up there. Qualifications of being a judge. Huh? Oh, hearken now unto my voice. I'll give you counsel. God shall be with you. But for the people to God, where thou must bring us the causes unto God, you shall teach them ordinances as laws, shall show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetous. Everybody, 90% of the judiciary is not that in any way, shape, or form. That's the critocracy. That's the lying word, democracy, democracy. It's all lies, all lies, all lies. And what? How come we don't know it? I'm here every day, Susie. You know who doesn't want to hear it? You know. Come on, somebody come on here and save me today.
Oh, you stop barking. You stop barking, coach. You stop barking. Why are you barking, coach? There's nothing to bark about. This is
well, Vinny, can I tell you the truth? People are afraid of barking dogs, aren't they?
Amen, brother.
They're afraid of barking dogs. Well, my wife and I, who's just walked down, I love that woman so much. She just walked down here on the outside of my multi-million-dollar studio. We have a fight here. Not really. She doesn't want a dog, and I want one. I said, not only do I want one, I want a big one and a loud one. I want when people pull into my driveway, the first thing they hear is, woo, 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 and they choose to go someplace else, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? But they've told you you're not supposed to judge. Jeez. A witness barks. Can you bark? Can you bark? Can you go to your pastor and bark? Maybe your pastor doesn't care because there ain't nobody barking. Maybe he thinks, well, no, they don't want to hear about that. That nobody. We go to church every Sunday. Nobody ever says anything about that. Do you ever go to your pastor and say, hey, pastor, can you bark? Can you bark? Hey, pastor, can you teach me how to bark? Randy.
So, Coach, I think you made a great connection here. Does Christianity promote people to not bark, to not stand up, to not judge, to all that? as a default position to not be a witness?
Well, Randy, Jesus himself told us in Matthew 6 that we would be hated of all men. And what's the message coming from the pulpit? Love, love, love.
But Coach, yeah. What I'm saying is it's an accepted teaching because it lets you not be that. It gives you a way out to not be a witness. It promotes you to not stand up. It promotes you to be quiet and to be nice. That's teaching. That's what it promotes, Coach. It promotes not being a watcher.
So Randy,
it has to in other words,
Randy, just praying against abortion or putting a pro-life bumper sticker on your car. You mean that's not enough, Randy? That's not enough? Is that barking? Well, Coach, I'm not called to do that. Well, what do you mean? I don't have a special phone. What do you mean you're not called to do it? For he to do what is right and not to do it, to him it is sin. I'll ask a question. Do you have to be a special kind of Christian to end abortion? You have to be a special kind of Christian? If you knew going to the abortion clinic and holding up a sign and praying, if you knew that that would end abortion, would you do it? Well, why don't you do it? Oh, hey, open your eyes. Why is the left all of a sudden out in the streets again? Why are they out burning Elon Musk's machines? Because they know it works. They're barking. Not the church. Not the church. And I asked it the other day, I'll ask it again. Has your pastor ever led you out to do anything confrontational? Glenn. Go ahead.
Yeah. Spencer, can you bring up Acts 18:9? Acts 18:9. So what do we read here?
Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak. Wait a minute, Glenn, let me change it. Be not afraid, but bark.
Okay, so verse 10, to follow through on that. The Lord says, for I am with you and no one will attack you or hurt you. We can't be afraid to speak for fear that somebody might attack us because we're under the Lord's anointing. All right. Amen. We just have to speak and act. All right. But the problem, the way I see it is most Christians are ambivalent. They're just too lazy. They're waiting on somebody else to do it.
That's right. That's right. They never learned to bark. In fact, they were told barking's bad. Christians don't bark. Christians meow. Dale.
Well, my interpretation of a dog that barks, if all he does is bark, he's a worthless barker. I want a dog that bites. That's what I want. I don't care if he barks. I tell you what, matter of fact, you come into my house and I've got a dog, I'm going to train him not to bark. I'm going to train him to immediately bite. That's the Republican Party. That's all they are is a bunch of barkers. They don't bite on nothing.
Oh, Dale. So that when the UPS guy pulls into my driveway and old Charlie comes down the hill and he's barking, you know what? What do I say, folks? What do I say to the driver?
He don't bite. He don't bite. These are the pastors too, Coach. Listen, you said it right. These pastors, they can preach powerful messages and get up there and spit all over the front row. But if they don't go out and bite the devil, they're worthless barkers.
Israel's watchmen are blind. They are all dumb dogs afraid to bark. Just read that yesterday, didn't we? John 8. First John 8? Huh? Friends, look. I'm not trying to make enemies. But the truth is the truth. Why is it that the left uses all those techniques to influence our leadership? You mean to tell me the American church could not impact what's going on politically if they came out of the pews? You want me to believe that? You're right, Paul. They're all paid, as we're finding out. Did you guys see that? Elon Musk, again, found out that by pinging phones, you say, well, they shouldn't be able to do that. Well, they can. They found out that 85% of the protesters in D.C. are paid. They've been the same protesters in every city. They move them from city to city to city. Why would they do that? Why would they take it to the streets? Maybe it works. Maybe it works. So I'm just wondering, just kind of curious here as we're running out of time. I wonder how many of you out there. Come on, have had somebody tell you, you better stay away from that coach. He's going to get you in trouble. Huh? Oh, you don't have to raise your hand. I know it goes on. Because they're worried about if you hang around me, you'll be barking too. Oh, yeah. See, they think it's spiritual to meow. Hide in the kitty box. They think that's more Christian. Who are you to judge? Coach Dave, who are you to judge? They just need Jesus. You're daggone right they do. And I'm going to go tell them. I'm going to be a witness, and I'm going to testify to them that what they're doing is wicked, and they're going to pay for it. And I'm going to go do it because I love them. I'm not going to go out there and tell them how much God loves them when they're out there doing that mess. I ain't going to go. What? Tell them he loves them? They're in sin? They're practicing all sorts of deviant sexual behaviors? And I'm going to go tell them God loves them? They're going to go murder their baby? And as they're going to murder their baby, I'm going to tell them God loves them? What's wrong with us? God's angry with the wicked every day. Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach, what's the one thing you hear all the time? They say, oh, boy, they tell me, well, your son, he's a good Christian man. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a good one, yeah. He don't bark. They like your boy because he don't bark. Lorianne.
They've redefined the word love. Yes. I mean, God is he's Jesus is the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah. Lions roar. If my daughter is in danger, or one of my friends are in danger, love protects. God's love has vengeance on the enemy. God's love said, "Go and kill the Amalekites because they're going to hurt you." And they have this love. Love is love. No, love is not love. Love protects. Love lays down its life. Love lays down its life for its enemies. So they've taken the word love and redefined it, and taken the word judgment and redefined that you're not allowed to have discernment, because the Lord told us to have discernment.
So Lorianne, if I show up outside of the abortion clinic, and I tell that woman, please don't go in there and kill your baby, I'm telling that because I love her.
Exactly.
And she's going to regret it the rest of her life. You're going to lay your head on the pillow.
And the consequences that are going to come with that. This is what it does. As a coach, if you sat there and said, hey, you know, offensive line, just stand there. And then the defensive line plummets the offensive line. And then it was, well, I didn't want to tell them that because I didn't want to hurt their feelings. No, you're there to win a game.
That's right. You are there to hurt their feelings.
You're supposed to. The offensive line is there to protect the quarterback, and they're there to protect one another. So what are they supposed to do? Let the defensive line and just level the quarterback? Oh, but you know,
Lorraine, I'm running out of time. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. He disciplines. You love your family? You love your friends? Tell them the friggin' truth. See you tomorrow.